Good morning for Friday, March 17th, 2017. Audible presents the New York Times Audio Digest. Here's what's making news on today's front page. Trump cuts services that aid his base. Trump digs in on accusations widely rejected. And campaign pledge of Muslim ban haunts Trump. In today's national headlines, journey of Pence's Irish grandfather to the U.S. New York mayor faces criticism but no charges. And a judge, a lawsuit, and a very important punctuation mark in Maine. In today's business headlines, leaders got big pay as crisis hit Wells Fargo, Germans raid firm investigating Volkswagen, and regulators to investigate 21st Century Fox's deal for Sky. There will be more business stories, more national and world news, a roundup from the sports page, and New York Times columnist Paul Krugman. Now, as selected by the editors of the New York Times, here are the stories on today's front page. The top story is written from Washington. Trump cuts services that aid his base. Reported by Michael Shear. President Trump's proposal on Thursday for deep cuts to the budgets of a broad swath of the federal bureaucracy was billed as a tough-minded and necessary corrective to the growth of the government's power. But even members of his own party questioned some of the cuts and what was not being cut. The harshest criticism of Trump's budget came from Democrats and liberal groups. But in a city where many federal programs enjoy long-standing bipartisan support, some Republicans also assailed the president's judgment. While we have a responsibility to reduce our federal deficit, I'm disappointed that many of the reductions and eliminations proposed in the president's skinny budget are draconian, careless, and counterproductive, said Representative Harold Rogers, a Republican from Kentucky and a former chairman of the House Appropriations Committee. We will certainly review this budget proposal, but Congress ultimately has the power of the purse. The spending plan's bottom line is roughly the same as in President Barack Obama's last budget request, but it marks Trump's first major attempt to dismantle what his aides dismissively call the administrative state. The $1.1 trillion spending plan envisions deep cuts to many government programs while leaving entitlement programs like Social Security untouched. It increases spending on the military and border security. Trump was elected on a promise to wage war against what he's frequently mocked as a bloated and ineffective federal workforce, and he's betting that his first budget will help consolidate support by calling for a significant shift of resources away from programs that aid the poor, the environment, foreigners, and the arts. To those who object to deep cuts in those programs, Mick Mulvaney, the president's budget director, had a blunt message on Thursday. What did you expect? He said that after-school programs had failed to help children in schools, that housing programs were not well-run, that government health research had suffered mission creep, and that grants to local communities don't do any good. Mulvaney waved aside questions about cuts to the United Nations, saying that they should come as a surprise to no one who watched the campaign. And he said that the president made no apologies for eliminating efforts to curb climate change. The approach is a risky gamble for Trump, whose victory came in part by assembling a coalition that included low-income workers who rely on many of the programs that he now proposes to slash. If the president gets his way, funding for the environment, diplomacy, housing, health services, and the arts will be cut 20% to 30%. In 19 cases, funding will be eliminated, including for the Appalachian Regional Commission, the Neighborhood Reinvestment Corporation, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Military spending would increase by $54 billion, a 10% rise in 2018, in addition to a $30 billion increase in the current year. Here's the second front page story. Trump digs in on accusations widely rejected. The former president denied it, so did the former National Intelligence Director. The FBI director has said privately that it is false. The Speaker of the House and the Chairman of the House and Senate Intelligence Committees, all three Republican, see no indications that it happened. But President Trump insists he's right. No matter how many officials, even in his own party, dismiss his unsubstantiated claim that President Barack Obama secretly tapped his phones last year, the White House made clear Thursday that it would stand by the assertion. Ultimately, it insisted the president will be proven correct. nearly 2 weeks after Trump first accused his predecessor in a series of Saturday morning Twitter posts. The standoff between the president and the available record has come to shadow the White House, even as it tries to overhaul the nation's health care system and drastically rewrite the federal budget. Much like his long-standing assertion that Obama was not born in the United States, Trump dismisses contrary information with undiminished surety. Indeed, the White House even added a fresh assertion on Thursday during a fiercely combative and sometimes surreal briefing by the press secretary, Sean Spicer, who berated reporters and read from news accounts that either did not back up the president's claims or have been refuted by intelligence officials. The White House defiance came shortly after the top two senators overseeing the intelligence community joined the chorus of lawmakers debunking the claim. Based on the information available to us, we see no indications that Trump Tower was the subject of surveillance by any element of the United States government, either before or after Election Day 2016.